At Highland, we're all about celebrating little wins and little ways to innovate digital processes. There's no customer pain point too small for us to help with. Maybe that's why more than half of the Fortune 100 looks to Highland to connect their content and data, improve processes, and turn little efficiencies into big wins for their customers and clients. Highland, intelligent content solutions for innovators everywhere at highland.com.
Wayfair's big sale is back. Get ready for Wayday. For 3 days only, October 5th through October 7th, save up to 80% off on everything home. With low prices on top furniture and decor, now's the time to invest in new seating or dining set. Up your holiday decorating game for way less. Refresh your cookware and baking supplies. Restock your linen closet. And maybe even treat yourself? Actually, definitely treat yourself. At up to 80% off, this is the sale to go all out. Oh, and did we mention everything ships free all way day long? Yeah, everything, even a sectional. Plus, surprise flash deals launch every 24 hours on some of Wayfair's top products. So check back each day to score big on something you never saw coming. Who knows what amazing finds you'll bring home. Don't miss Wayfair's big sale. Way day only lasts 3 days and won't be back soon. Save up to 80% off all things home now through October 7th, only at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair. Every style, every home.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
We're joined by Jennifer Horgan and Brenda Bulger, both of whom are going to be discussing whether or not Irish motorists have become more aggressive in recent years. Jennifer is a journalist with the Irish Examiner and a teacher, and she spent the past 15 years in classrooms in Ireland and abroad. Brenda is an RSA registered driving instructor at the Bulger School of Motoring in Ballyfoyle in Kilkenny. And Jennifer, I should start with you because it is your thesis that we're examining. It is your belief that the level of aggression has increased and the quality of driving has decreased in recent years.
Hi, Anton. Yeah, I certainly see the level of aggression just worsening. I'm a walker, so I'm a non-driver. And I spend a lot of time just on the roads, you know, and kind of stopped waiting at lights. And I just look around and I see the interactions. And there just seems to be a lot of frustration and anger in how drivers communicate with each other, but also with pedestrians, cyclists. People are certainly speeding. I see it every day. There's just a lack of kind of common decency on the roads. There was one incident I described in my column this week of, you know, a car coming out from a side street, and there was a very clear, thick, white line where the car was meant to stop. But he didn't stop there. The car continued on into the cycling lane. So two cyclists had to stop kind of abruptly. And it was just his reaction wasn't one of apology. It was like, oh, no, well, obviously I had to, you know, nudge forward because, you know, like, so the assumption that the car rules the road, I think, is just getting stronger and stronger.
And was it not ever thus to some extent?
Well, look, that I suppose, I lived out of the country for 12 years and I've only been back since 2018. And since coming home, I haven't been driving. Maybe it's my perspective, you know, I'm not behind the wheel myself. So I'm really just spending my time observing. So other people could probably speak to that better than I can.
Let me get an expert in on that topic then, because Brenda spends all day behind the wheel. Brenda Bulger is a driving instructor. What do you think? Is it getting worse?
Absolutely. 100% we are getting worse. We are getting to a point where we're so self-involved, we're not aware. I drove from Kilkenny to Killarney just today, and there was a gentleman driving behind me, and I was honestly going to open the boot to let him get in. He was that close. When he did finally overtake me, he was so close to the vehicle in front, he kept having to nudge out every so often to try and overtake them because he wasn't back far enough to have a clear field of vision, even to the extent that there was a sign on the side of the road clearly stating there was a climbing lane in 200 metres. And he was so impatient, he couldn't wait to get 200 metres in a car to overtake safely. And you're just seeing this kind of behaviour consistently. And I know we're trying to introduce new measures such as reducing the speed limits and greater penalties. We have all these measures in place already and they're not effective. What we're not doing is looking at new measures and new causes. And I was telling Claire earlier, if we go back to the 60s with Peltzman's theory, he was charged with investigating causes of road deaths amongst drivers. And he actually concluded his research that the greater amount of safety features that were put into cars gave drivers a false sense of security. And the fact, or what happened with the theory or the research, was that driver of vehicles, road deaths for them decreased, but at the same time, cyclists and pedestrian deaths increased. And that's going back as far as the 60s, and we're still not taking anything on board to try and change all of these behaviours. And there's so much of it out there. There's so many more cars on the road these days, but people are just far too self-involved and there's too many distractions inside in the cars and we're just not paying attention.
Well, I don't know to what extent that research holds true if you look at the numbers in more recent years and decades, but are you suggesting that it is obnoxious behaviour is the problem, or that people are behaving in a way that's dangerous?
I think it's a measure both for us as instructors. When we're teaching people, obviously we go through the learning phase, but we do get to a point during that process where we have to determine, is the behaviour based on a knowledge gap or just a behaviour? And we can try and educate and enlighten as much as we can, but we only get that person for 12 hours. And if you think about any job anybody has ever had, within that 12-hour period, if you've been trained for just 12 hours to do a job, you're not going to be at your best.
So go through then the things that are most, that you would like to see eradicated. You talked about tailgating, where somebody sits 3 inches from the car in front. What are the other behaviours that you think are becoming endemic and unchallenged?
Speeding. 100% speeding is our number one cause, without doubt. And when I say speeding, I don't necessarily mean driving at speeds that are incredibly excessive of the speed limit. When we talk about speeding, we mean, you know, cornering and just, you could be beneath the speed limit, but just going too fast for that particular scenario or that particular bend or that particular junction, and overestimating your own level of skill. We absolutely need to get people to be held accountable for their actions. And we don't have that on the road anymore.
Okay, so we got tailgating, we got speeding. Jennifer, the ones that you as a pedestrian are observing, what are the behaviours that you wish you could eradicate?
Well, one of the things that I've a real issue is, as a non-driver, the reaction people have to me saying I don't drive is really interesting. Like, I've never had a positive reaction. Nobody has ever said to me, oh, that's cool, you must walk a lot, you know, that must be good for your health, or that's a good choice for the environment. Never. It's always, really? Oh, you know, an assumption that there's something kind of fundamentally wrong with me that I've chosen not to drive. So I think our attitude to driving as an absolutely essential skill, like breathing, I think that needs to change. Like, it is okay to not drive. Obviously, you know, it depends where you're living and everything else, and public transport or whatever. But if you're healthy, you're fit, you can walk. I can drive. So I drove in Ireland before I left, but I've moved to London, and so I kind of let it go. Then I went to Abu Dhabi and I had to drive because you just can't not drive there. So I drove on those big roads. And then when we came home, my international license lapsed over COVID. And then now I'm getting lessons at the moment. So I'm very reluctantly going to drive a little bit when I have to, but I would really, really rather not. But I'm also just a little bit worn down from the criticism of people. And I think that kind of fun, like as Brenda said, that there's so many cars on the road. That's the big thing I see. Like, I'm walking and I'm like, this road is not big enough for all of us, for so many cars. It's the smell. It's unpleasant. And I just think how lovely our cities could be and our villages if we just gave more to the pedestrian, to the cyclist, to the pram, to the disabled people, like just people, children, old people, that they know they're safe, that they can be, you know, recreationally in their city, rather than the horrible, like, assault on your senses that we have with all the cars on the road. We just have to cut down on our driving.
I think that's
I would start.
I'm a taxi driver. I bring patients to dialysis early in the morning from several counties. In the early morning, people drive like lunatics. Continuous white lines mean nothing. Even overtaking at islands, going to the wrong side of the road to manoeuvre around the island, it's lack of a guard. The presence, I see a new trend of people removing their front number plates too. And then another, the aggression is driven by drivers trained to be too cautious in certain situations. Many drivers now think overtaking is illegal and will sit behind a donkey from Malin to Mizzenhead. Going slower reduces the capacity of roads to carry traffic, but we're not building new roads for an expanding population. Well, as a driving instructor, Brenda, what of that? That it is people in some cases are lacking in confidence and skill to move on at an acceptable pace.
Yes, that's definitely a thing that we have there as well, because what we do try to focus on, particularly when we're teaching them, is when you're coming to a continuous white line, they don't have the experience and you're consistently bringing them back to, do you remember your theory test? That was the theory. It's not two separate entities. This is where you actually apply what it is that you have learned in theory. And what we can do is we can encounter so many scenarios, but our job ultimately is to try and give them enough skill that they're able to depend on themselves and their own thinking and their own reactions. But we have a very limited time frame in which to do that. And some people will pick it up and get it in the second or third lesson. Some people might need to take 20. The learning rates are different for everyone. But it's this one test and then we're all out on the road together and we all have to share it. And it's dangerous for everyone. And even now we've got the e-scooters as well. This is another new thing. Not a single driver on the road today has had any training or education about those. And new legislation was passed on them and I was baffled that they didn't have to wear helmets. So that, like, there's more and more and more and more coming onto the roads. And we're not making any headway in terms of, if you're building new footpaths or cycle tracks, why do they have to go right beside the road? Are there any other alternatives that we can actually separate the road from the footpaths? We're just rehashing the same things over and over again. But we do absolutely need to have accountability. We absolutely need people to maybe perhaps, if they are engaging in bad behaviour and they are held accountable for it, we don't have any re-education programmes in place for them. There's penalties and there's fines and there's the possibility of losing your licence. Those are all punishments. And yes, some people will learn from punishment, but more people will learn through consistent education and consistent skill development. And those are far better options to make us safer in the long run.
Another text that says, I travel a bit for work between Kerry, Limerick and Cork, and no lie, I don't even need to check if I've crossed the border into Cork, as the driving there is off the scale. Yellow boxes may as well be removed, and a red light means put your leg on the accelerator. It's so dangerous. My heart is always in my mouth, so much so even with a green light, I still check to make sure no car has broken the lights. It's a shame the Gardaí don't monitor the junctions. What about that one, Brenda? The yellow box. Does anybody actually know what it means?
Very few. You can enter it if you can clear it. You can enter it and stop in it if you're going to turn right and you're not going to obstruct any other traffic. That's yellow box theory. But like your texter said, people are afraid. And because you learn it and then you can learn it at 17, you might be driving then for another 30 or 40 years. You've never upskilled, you've never retrained. I don't remember stuff that I learned at school. And if I was to try to apply it today, I wouldn't be able to do so. We need to have consistent education, skill assessment and repercussions for bad driving behaviour. It's not a secret recipe, but that's what it's going to take.
Jennifer, one of the things that we're getting a lot of comment about is what you raised at the start, that being road rage. Text to say, people feel they are untouchable behind the wheel. The road rage I see of others behind the wheel is shocking. Are you seeing much of that?
Absolutely. And I was saying it to your producer, I think it's kind of similar to social media, you know, that when you can't see the person you're speaking to, you're more awful. It's the same with drivers. I see it. They're behind the wheel and so they're happy to beep and yell and whatever it is, you know, they're kind of protected in their vehicle. Absolutely. It's deeply unpleasant.
Do you think it is that they are, is it the build up of frustration of being stuck in traffic and dealing with instance after instance of bad behaviour? Or is it just that once you get behind a glass box, you think, I'm safe, I'll roar at somebody?
I think it's a bit of both, but I definitely think it's frustration for traffic because I walk to work, so I'm walking past lines of traffic and I'll often think, God, I'm so happy I'm doing this rather than sitting in one of those cars. But they're just sitting there and they're getting angry and they're meant to be somewhere. And so again, public transport, we need more people, carpooling, public transport, fewer cars. Like, it kind of really shocks me how it's not happening because, I mean, in Europe, it's happening in plenty of cities, you know, that it's car-free and people are copping on to the fact that actually we really have to change our culture. And I think we are so wedded to our cars in this country.
What about the issue, though, of how difficult it is to enforce? Because, Brenda, if you look at some of the behaviours, I mean, on my drive into work this morning, there was a speed camera van parked happily in an area, because I've lived there all my life, an area where there's never, to my knowledge, been an accident and there have never been speeding problems, but it's there collecting revenue. Meanwhile, you go 5 kilometres up the road and it's mayhem and chaos at every junction. There's people using bus lanes illegally. There's people speeding. And you think a lot of those things are harder to enforce than simply putting a camera van anywhere you like and using it as a tax collection vehicle.
But that's exactly the point. The speed camera vans are like they're revenue generating sources. That's exactly what they are. And yes, they will serve a purpose. But if you put a second speed camera van a kilometre down the road, that one's going to generate far more revenue than the first one, because people have gone past it and they're only going to behave themselves in that moment at that first van. You'll actually catch the true character further down the road. And that's the thing. We need a much more visible Garda presence on our roads. It's been absent for so long, and road safety campaigns have been absent for so long as well. But the numbers were down when they were visible and present and consistent, and now they're absent, the numbers have risen. They need to come back as well.
And on the topic of numbers across, there are so far fewer available guards within the roads policing units compared to what there once were. Texts say you don't have to be a genius to see lack of enforcement and visibility by the Gardaí has contributed to speeding and bad behaviour, and it is nothing new. Big thank you to Jennifer Horgan, Irish Examiner columnist, and Brenda Bulger, driving instructor in Kilkenny, in Ballyfoyle specifically.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.
What does innovation sound like? It sounds like the luxury of being in the moment with your customer, client, or patient. It sounds like having the right information right when you need it. It sounds like being at your best for your customers and your business. Thanks to Hyland's intelligent content solutions that improve digital processes, innovators everywhere are able to do their thing better, whatever that thing is. Now, who doesn't like the sound of that? Hyland, for innovators everywhere, visit hyland.com.